What is heaven like? I arrived at an evangelistic meeting. I think it was Monday night of the meetings. It started on Sunday. This was Monday night. And I arrived and looked on the table as I came in. And there was this book, not this a copy, but this book, Heaven by Randy Alcorn. And the evangelist said, "That's the best book on heaven I've ever read." And my immediate thought was, "This is the best book on heaven I've ever read." I think I told him. He said, "Well, yeah, of course." But I was given this several years ago by a widow friend. And she did not read it, nor have I read it. And the reason she didn't read it is the same as the reason I haven't read it. She said she asked her pastor about it. I said, "Pastor, have you read this?" And not to step on any toes, he said, "Yes." She goes, "Well, what? How is it?" He said, "Well, it's got a lot of Randy Alcorn in it." So she said, "You know what? I got better things to do with my time." So she passed it to me. And then, this a few months ago, while I was recycling some stuff, and I don't know if you know this, but there's a box full of books, a large box, like 4x4x4 cube, full of books, and there are different books. And so I always, when I recycle, dump stuff off, and that's my last stop. I look, and I found the study guide to the book. I thought, well, I got the book. I might as well get the study guide in case I ever need to use it. And it has this: "This is the best book on heaven I've ever read," by Rick Warren. Rick Warren said that. Okay? And so, having a low opinion of Rick Warren's work, whether he's saved or not, I don't know, but not liking pretty much anything he does in the ministry, it kind of solidified my thinking. But it is interesting. We've all wondered what heaven is like. Okay? And that's a wide open question. Somewhere I read about, you know, the cartoon version of heaven. We're floating on clouds with halos and white robes and strumming our harps and such. And I'm not exactly sure where that comes from in the Bible. But what is heaven like according to the Bible? Not according to tradition, not according to media. A while back there was a movie that was fairly popular called Heaven Is For Real, about a young boy who died and went to heaven and came back. And I haven't read the book, if there's a book, nor watched the movie, but just that premise should let us know that in 2 Corinthians, Paul, probably describing himself, says, "I know a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not, was caught up into the third heaven, into paradise, into God's presence. And he saw things that were not lawful for him to speak of." Okay, so if, and it's probably Paul, but whoever Paul was referencing, if that man was not allowed to tell what he witnessed when he went to heaven, I don't think I can trust anybody else, even whatever it is, a young boy. Okay? And all the visions that I've read of people who have died and went to heaven was it's a warm, fuzzy, welcoming light, and nothing at all of judgment unless you've trusted Christ. And what great way for Satan to delude someone into thinking that they're good enough. And I remember talking to someone, knocking on a door, somehow came across one and gave me a gospel, said, "I've been to heaven, I know what it's like, I'm good. I don't need you to try to convert me." Okay. Sadly, they're deceived. But biblically, what is heaven like? I'd like to focus on the activities we'll be doing in heaven. What will we be doing for timeless eternity? And this is not by any means exhaustive, but let's begin with prayer. Father, you are God alone. You are God in heaven. We ask as we look at your word that you would give us insight into some of the future that you've planned for us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The primary activity in heaven Revelation chapter 5. Primary activity in heaven, and most of these are from Revelation, is praise and worship of God. Praise and worship of God. Revelation 5, verse 8 through 14. Revelation 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, he, being the lion of the tribe of Judah, the lamb, the root of David, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, everyone having with them harps and golden vials, or some kind of container full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song. Sung. Is that a word? Sung. Right. Sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Notice it doesn't say race, because there's only, well, you can say two races, redeemed race and the fallen race, but Adam's race. And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Now 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million. 1,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000. I don't think that's specifically a number. I think it's a way of saying a bunch, a whole lot of them. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all them that and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lived forever and ever. Praise and worship of God. Praise and worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn to chapter 19. Chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Okay, so he's hearing this from heaven, Revelation 19, 1, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. So heaven is ringing with praise for God, for who he is and what he has done. And then Revelation 7. Revelation 7. Beginning in verse 4, we won't read it, but there are 144,000 sealed, 12,000 from each of the tribes of Judah. And in verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, again, doesn't use the word race, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their face and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Primary activity in heaven is praise and worship of the Lord. The glimpses that we have in heaven are almost entirely of worshiping the Lord. And notice the connection with singing, which is a second activity. Singing. They sang a new song. They sung a new song. They sing. They say these things. And also, Revelation 15, verses 3 and 4. Revelation 15, 3 and 4. So the primary activity is praise and worship. Another activity is singing as part of that worship. Revelation 15, verse 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, right, is that a reference to the Old Testament and New Testament? All part of God's plan? Perhaps. Saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest, are made known. And the connection, close connection between worship, praise of God, and singing. And thirdly, we read, I believe, in chapter 5, back to Revelation 5, verse 10. You still with me, or are you already gone? Okay, Revelation 5:10. Has made us unto our God kings and priests. Okay. The Lamb not only redeemed them, but made, well, he redeemed us, but made us, to use the first person, made us kings and priests. What do kings do? They rule. Okay, and that's what it says. And we shall reign on the earth. We're going to reign on the earth. Okay, so now I thought this was in heaven. Well, this is where I have yet to figure out the relationship between the new heaven and the new earth, New Jerusalem, and heaven as we know it. Okay, what's the exact relationship? New Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven to the earth, and we're on the earth, we're in heaven, the gates are open. Why are gates open? Who's going to be coming, entering and leaving, you know, through those pearly gates? Well, it says the kings of the earth will bring tribute into the Lord in Revelation. So those I'm not quite sure of, but kings rule. We are made kings. We're going to rule on the earth. So one of the activities in heaven is we're going to rule. Chapter 22, verse 5 says pretty much the same thing. Revelation 22, verse 5. There's no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Okay. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. One of my high school principals, I went to a Christian school, Russ Kennedy, he's a pastor now, has been, when did I graduate? Since the year after I graduated, so since 85, says, if you want a throne, go find a cross. I have that written in my flyleaf of this Bible. Fourth activity, praise and worship of God, singing, we're going to reign. And in Revelation 5:10, it says, has made us unto our God kings and priests. What do priests do? Right. Well, growing up Catholic, we had a phrase, there was a part of the Mass, which the Mass is a celebration of the re-crucifixion of Christ. It's blasphemy. But they have a part where they go like this, and he says something. I was right at the time when they stopped doing Masses in Latin and started doing them in English, but it was very sing-songy. And the nearest thing that I could, what it always sounded like to me was, I can play dominoes better than you can. Okay, so priests play dominoes. Okay? Not really. What do priests do? They offer sacrifices and they serve. They serve the Lord. Okay, in chapter 7, verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he sits on a throne, dwells among them. And Revelation 22, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. We will serve the Lord throughout eternity as priests. We will reign throughout eternity as kings. Isn't that amazing? And in chapter 7, verse 17. Chapter 7, verse 17, for the Lamb which is in them, is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them. And he shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eye. And in chapter 19, verse 9, he that saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay? We will eat in heaven. And that's very important for Baptists, right? We will be eating in heaven. And God himself, the Lord, will be feeding us. He shall feed them. The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. Jesus is going to feed us. The song, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. I first heard it as done by a quartet in high school. I was in high school, junior high school. And that last phrase always bothered me, where it says, Christ shall gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. It's like, in heaven, Christ is not going to gird himself, not going to put a work garments on and feed us. We will be serving him. But it says there, there's biblical precedent for that verse. The Lamb shall feed them. I don't know if there's another verse that says he's going to feed us manna, but he's going to feed us. So, praise and worship, singing, serving, reigning, serving the Lord, eating. I think two more. One more. The last one we'll look at after this short rabbit trail. Okay. I mentioned about the flyleaf of my Bible. I counted up. I have 31 signatures in my Bible. How many of you have gotten people to sign your Bible? Nobody over here? What's the matter with this side? Okay. I don't know if that was just a thing when I was growing up, but like any time you had an evangelist or special speaker come in, there was just a line of mostly young people that get to sign your Bible. Okay. Some of these signatures I value more highly than others. Some of them I just barely remember. Now, who was that person? Okay. One of them, I recall, is interesting. I think he's the first one to write something like this. Maybe it's in the back. First off, I remember because he had an unusual name, Myron Guiler, Marietta, Ohio, Bible Center Church or something like that. And underneath it, he wrote, Pray for me. It's like, oh, that's Matthew 4:4 and then pray for me, which is a good thing. You know, because when I read that, pray for Myron Guiler. He's probably in heaven now because he was about my age when I was not much older than her. Some of them I esteem more highly than others. One is the signature of a pastor who is the only person to be elected a member of three different parliaments at the same time. He served in three parliaments at the same time. The Northern Ireland Parliament, the British Parliament, and the European Parliament. Okay. I don't know if he's still alive. Ian Paisley. Okay. And I liked him because of, I liked his accent. I liked the fact that he could preach in an auditorium that sat over 7,000 people without a microphone. I liked some of the stories he told, speaking in Parliament, particularly against the Pope, and how British Parliaments and European Parliaments are much more exciting. How when the Pope was invited to speak, as soon as the Pope walked up to wherever, Paisley stood up, and before I even got to say anything, shoes were flying at him. So people already had their shoes, they were unloaded, and cocked. So as soon as they knew he was going to do something, so they threw shoes at him. Right? I have one woman who signed my Bible, Mrs. Bob Jones Sr. I was coming out of a dining common once, and I saw her shuffling along, and I asked her to sign my Bible. Not a preacher. Some were big-name preachers of what we might call mega churches, but this is back in the late 70s, early 80s. But the three that I value the most signed my Bible after they had celebrated their 80th birthday. Their lives were well-lived for Jesus. One is still alive. There are three heroes of mine, Benton Bell, J. Benton Bell. He didn't like his name Jacob because of supplanter, so he went by Benton Bell. Bob Grings and Bob Obenchain. Testimony, their lives were testimonies of faithfulness and service to the Lord. Bob Grings signed two passages. All right, so he was the first and only one, at least in my Bible, to sign two different passages. John 12:24, and he has for Irene, Zaire. Irene Pharaoh was his sister-in-law who was killed, perhaps you could say martyred, on the field. And I was privileged to teach some of her nieces and nephews to know her sister. And he also signed Revelation 14:30. And he put, "Their works do follow." So if you turn to Revelation 14, verse 30, you'll see that Bob was showing his age when he wrote that. Revelation 14, verse 30. Okay, he was showing his age because there is no verse 30. I believe he meant verse 13 because he wrote, "Their works do follow." I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, "Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." Sixth thing, what are we going to do in heaven? We will rest. They rest from their labors and their works do follow. We will be rewarded. We will rest and we will be rewarded for what we don't deserve. Serving the Lord. Are you looking forward to heaven? God gives us rewards for serving Him with the grace, the ability that He gives. Rest and reward. Primarily in heaven, we will praise and worship Him. We will sing. We will rule somehow on the earth. And Paisley, he was targeted for assassination by the Irish Republican Army several times. And he always preached in a black suit, a black vest, a white shirt, and a white tie. So he had this bright, very visible patch of white right here. When asked why, he said, "To give the IRA a very easy target." Right there. Right, black around right there. And he said one time, the only time he missed a Saturday morning prayer meeting was when the IRA drove by his church building and shot it up as they drove by and walked in looking for him. And he said, "I was at home sleeping in my bed because of a meeting that he had with somebody, emergency meeting that went until late hours of the morning, Saturday morning." He said, "Thankfully, they didn't recognize my daughter, or they may have taken her." He said that regarding ruling on earth, he said, "I don't know if the Lord allows requests, but I've already put in my request for where I get to rule. I want to rule over Rome." And I thought it was very interesting because of his lifelong fight against the blasphemy of Catholicism. And he said he even had people in Ireland, Northern Ireland, which is torn by religious strife. He didn't have mothers stop him and say to their 6-year-old son, 5-year-old son, whatever, 14-year-old son, and said, "Son, this is Ian Paisley. Now, he's one of those nasty Protestants." He said, "But you can trust his word when he talks politics." So that's a pretty good testimony. And we will rule. We will serve him as priests. We will eat. We will rest and be rewarded. Richard Baxter, pastor in the 1600s, wrote this, and I echo his words. "My knowledge of that life is small. My eye of faith is dim. But it's enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with him." If you can stand, would you? Our Father and our God, how we praise you for who you are, that you are God, that you are matchless, that power, honor, and glory, dominion, praise, worship, adoration, love, service, all belong to you. Father, help us to see that our lives here are meant to glorify you. Father, as we look forward this week to VBS, and there will be glitches, there will be frustrations, things will go wrong, Father, help us in our tiredness and our frailty and our frustration to see this life is not about us. It's about you and your glory. Father, we thank you for the future that you've prepared for us. Thank you that you've given it to us freely. We ask that you would be glorified in our midst as Emmanuel Baptist Church, in our families, in our individual lives. Father, help us to serve you in whatever occupation we have, whatever occupation we choose to do. May we serve you through it. Thank you for giving us the blessings that you have in your Son. Amen.